It's The Record on KUOW. With Marcy Silman, I'm Ross Reynolds. Coming up at about 1:50 today, a conversation with writer Gary Steingart. Vicki Robin is a leader in the sustainable living, the simple living movement. Her best-selling book, Your Money or Your Life, and a group she founded called the New Roadmap Foundation, prompted many to reconsider their relationship to their jobs and to money and to life. Vicki Robin is one of the founders of Sustainable Seattle. Her latest book is Blessing the Hand That Feeds Us, What Eating Closer to Home Can Teach Us About Food, Community, and Our Place on Earth. Vicki Robin lives nearby on Whidbey Island. Thank you so much for coming by.
It's my pleasure to be with you again, Ross.
This started as an experiment that you did back in September 2010. Describe the experiment to us.
Well, in September 2010, I undertook a double dare from a farmer of mine. She had watched a takeoff on Super Size Me, the Morgan Spurlock 30-day experiment. And she wanted to know if she could actually feed another human being from her market garden. And I've done yo-yo dieting, up and down and up and down and weight, and also side to side, you know, eat meat, don't eat meat, you know, eat fat, don't eat fat. I have done everything in terms of dieting, but I had never done a commitment to local food, even though I knew that our food system is way more fragile than we want to believe. You know, I'd heard that we have 3 days of food on the grocery store shelves, that they're simply the end point of the industrial system. And I live on an island, so if the trucks don't run, what happens? Mm-hmm. So I understood that. I also learned that farming as a profession actually is off the books now. There's less than 2% of people who farm, so it doesn't quite exist as a profession.
Right. So how strict were you about this? You obviously weren't going to grocery stores. It had to be locally sourced, right? So
right.
What did that mean for you? Could you go to a restaurant that served only locally sourced food?
If there was one.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's another part of it, is that our food system hasn't caught up with this value called local food. So that's one of the things I learned. So I was very strict. I gave myself 4 exotics, though, because I wasn't going to live. I like sustainability as an extreme sport, but I don't like being without caffeine.
Okay.
So I had caffeine.
Cut yourself that slack.
Yeah, I cut myself that slack, and oil and salt and lemons, because I always drink hot lemon water in the morning. But everything else was sourced within 50 miles.
And you did it for the full
10 miles.
You did it for the full 30 days.
Absolutely.
Like by day 29, you're going, I can't wait till this is over because I want to get something.
Exactly.
I can't. Were you like that?
I was crazy. I was crazed because I later learned a term, a crunchaholic. You know, there's 2 types of people. There's sweetaholics who, when they're sad, they go for chocolate. And there's crunchaholics that when they're frustrated, they go for nuts and crackers and cookies and toast and things like that. And I was very frustrated because I couldn't have – there was no wheat in my 10 miles. There were no nuts. And so I was going crazy for an experience of crunch. So, yes, the first foods out was toast and almond butter. But I did. I found, you know, when you set a constraint in your life, suddenly a lot of stuff appears inside that circle that's invisible to you. So I found beef and chicken, and I found milk, but I found out that raw milk is illegal, so I can't tell you my supplier.
Okay.
You know, I scored milk and I scored goat cheese.
What surprised you about, I never would have thought I could have found that within 10 miles of my house? Was there anything that you came across that you didn't think you would come across?
Actually, no. What surprised me was learning how to cook again. You know, it's like I would wake up from an afternoon nap and I had, you know, 6 things that my farmer Tricia would have brought me, like a leek, a turnip, an onion. And I learned that I was mowing a weed in the backyard, which was oregano, so thank God I had oregano. You know, and I had to understand food as food. And that's really what the whole diet led me to, not just, you know, some funny adventure, but to understanding that food, going from being an anywhere, anytime, anything eater in the industrial food courts and not even thinking about it or caring about it, to being a local relational eater in a living food system, it put me in connection with the life of my place and the life of my community. And I sort of fell into deeper love with the place I live on Earth. And once you're in love with a place, you start to realize what works and what doesn't work there, which sent me into an interest in community food systems.
Well, September, a good month probably to look for locally sourced food. A lot of things are still coming in from the from the farm, so that was probably a good month to do it. And getting into the local
food, want to say, though, that somebody said that, many people said that to me, and I thought, you try it in September, darling, and you do it. You know, I have this alter ego. His name is Phyllis Wurzel from New York. So what I did is I said, okay, I'm going to do 50% of my food within 50 miles in February. And it was like taking off a girdle. That was like an it was really easy. But that took me all the way out to the Olympic Peninsula, and it gave me a feeling for my region. And I asked the question, how sufficient is my region? So, yes, I did it.
Did you have to travel a lot more, even by sourcing stuff 10 miles away? Did you find yourself having to drive a lot to gather everything together?
No, I bicycled.
Oh, okay. Good.
I have an electric bike. And then my friend Tricia would bring a box of food to my house every 5 days or so. So she delivered her food, and then I bicycled for the rest of it. And that's part of the intimate food system. When you are in a community food system, and 10 miles is just a marker for that, where people know each other, where there's farmers markets and CSAs, and where there's this underground food system for raw milk, you know, and things like that. It's easy to source food that you can get to by walking or bicycling, but you can't go to the store. Like people said, oh, well, you just go to the grocery store. No, I went to the grocery store, and all that was there was honey. And the point of this experiment is not for other people to do it, but it's an awakening experience of how dependent we are on a system that is completely vertically integrated, consolidated. Even our natural brands are owned by things like PepsiCo. So we are in the middle of a food system that is owned by corporations who are accountable not to us, but to the bottom line. And that's why I think it's worth paying attention.
Well, it's one thing to know that, and I suppose through this experiment, you actually learned it rather than just kind of knowing it in your head. You learned it firsthand.
Yeah, I learned it firsthand, and because I learned it firsthand, that's part of why I'm telling the story in Blessing the Hands That Feed Us, to wake people up, to sort of pull back the curtain and look at the system that sources our lives. And it's a little like Your Money, Your Life, because in that book, too, we pulled back the curtain of the money system and gave people a set of tools they could use in their personal lives that could empower them to have, well, a healthier life financially in that system. But this is a healthier life in terms of not just eating fresh, wonderful food, but having some sovereignty in our food system, in sourcing food, and realizing that food is not, you know, we individually eat, but if you want to have healthy food, you need a healthy food system.
Vicki Robin is with me, and as she mentioned, her latest book is Blessing the Hand That Feeds Us, about her experiment to eat food sourced 10 miles from her home for a month, and then she went out to 50 miles for a month, a much tougher month, February. So linking back to your book, Your Money or Your Life, what did it cost you to buy food locally compared to what it would have cost you if you just went and got greens at the grocery store?
That's a great question, because it is not universally more expensive, but generally more expensive to eat fresh local food. And one example was – and I had to deal with my own frugality. I mean, my frugality is a big barrier to me to eating really wonderfully produced food no matter where it comes from.
Because it costs more.
Because it costs more. And I became the sort of like the queen, the mascot of frugality. And so I really had to work with – breaking something inside my own mind that allowed me to understand that I could be as frugal as I want with food, but I am feeding a system that I don't want to feed. Not just that I'm feeding my body poor food, because I feel so healthy and hearty, but that I'm feeding a system I don't want to feed. So one story is that when I found out that somebody had extra local chickens and that he would deal me a couple of chickens, and so I go over there and he hands me a chicken and he says, that's $25. So two was $50. And it was like, I was like dumbfounded. I how can I be adorable enough that this guy gives me these chickens? But I realized that $5 a pound is what a chicken should cost. If you think about all that went into him being able to hand me that chicken, the price of feed, the building of the pens, you know, the collecting, the watering, the dealing with the teenage daughter who doesn't want to do her chores, the killing, the plucking, the gutting, the washing, the getting it into that package. So the question became, why is industrial food so cheap?
We're just about out of time, but what one thing have you taken with you once these experiments have ended? What how did you change your life after having been under these restrictions?
Well, what I love is eating relationally. I love eating food that's grown by people I know, and I love that not only does it nourish my body, but it nourishes the prosperity of my community. You know, that by buying local, we're not just buying something for our bodies, but we're buying something that nourishes the world we want to bring into being.
Vicki Robin here about her views on food and how she went about doing it. The book is called Blessing the Hands That Feed Us. Thank you so much for coming by.
It is my pleasure.
This is The Record on KUOW.